Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Q2 2017 investor call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Aurora Davidson. Please go ahead, Ms. Davidson.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q2 2017 investor conference call of Amerigo Resources Limited on Friday, August 11, 2017. I am Aurora Davidson, the company's Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin our presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Such forward-looking information will include, among other things, forecasts and projections about our copper production for 2017, which involves known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors that may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements to be materially different from such forecasts and projections. Therefore, although we believe that the anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place undue reliance on such forward-looking information. You should review our press release, which was issued on August 10, 2017, and our other documents filed with the securities authorities in Canada, including our annual information form under the heading Description of the Business Risk Factors. These documents describe the material factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecasts and projections as reflected in the forward-looking information, and the material factors that could cause our actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially. Except as required by law, we undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking information made in this presentation. I would now like to introduce the company's President and Chief Executive Officer, Rob Henderson.
Thank you, Aurora, and thank you, everyone, for joining the call. We had a very good second quarter, and I believe that we're well on our way to achieving the objectives that we set out at the beginning of the year. And these were, first, to deliver on guidance, which is 60 to 65 million pounds of copper at an annual cash cost of $1.60 to $1.75 per pound. In the second quarter, MVC produced a record of 16.3 million pounds of copper at a cash cost of $1.53 per pound. So if all goes to plan, we should finish the year well within guidance. Second was to commence construction of the second phase of the Cauquenes expansion project. I'm glad to announce that we are well underway with this objective, and we are fully funded. At the end of the July, we announced the $35 million debt financing from BBVA and EDC. This is a major milestone, and Aurora will give you some more detail on this next. We expect to start with the earthworks construction at site this month and then to finish construction in Q3 next year. The expansion at MVC is expected to increase production from 65 million pounds where we are now to an annual rate of 90 million pounds per year, and also, and probably more importantly, it's going to drop cash costs to $1.40 per pound. The third objective is to ensure MVC's liquidity, and the group generated $4.5 million in cash from operations this quarter. Cash balance at the end of the quarter was just over $20 million. Scheduled debt payments by MVC in the second quarter reduced our total debt from $70 million down to $63 million. The group's recorded copper price for the quarter was $2.59 per pound, and we remain unhedged to the copper price. The current copper price of $2.80 to $2.90 per pound is materially higher than the copper price of 1 year ago, which was $2.10 per pound. And I believe this price level is supported by supply and demand fundamentals. The bear market for commodities over the last 5 years has resulted in underinvestment by the typically capital-constrained mining sector. However, copper demand continues to grow steadily, and when it once again overtakes the diminishing mine supply, copper prices will rise once again until a sufficiently high incentive price is reached to invest in new mines. We survived the low point of the copper price cycle last year, and I believe we are very well positioned to benefit from higher copper prices in the next few years. The second quarter production of 16.3 million pounds of copper was on budget and included 10.3 million pounds from Carcanus, 5.4 million pounds from the fresh tailings, and 0.6 million pounds from Maricunga. Carcanus performed well, with the grades steadily improving and exceeded budget. Tonnage and recovery was slightly negative, affected by the wet weather in Chile. However, MBC's forecast for copper production for the second half of 2017 remains on track for an annual production of 60 to 65 million pounds at a cash cost of $1.60 to $1.65. The work on the Carcanus Phase 2 expansion project has progressed steadily since the beginning of the year. And as at the end of July, MBC had completed 50% of the detailed engineering and had placed orders for the long delivery equipment, the rougher flotation cells, cleaner flotation cells, and the regrind mill. The site clearing activities are complete, and all pipe and electrical cable interferences have been removed from the project area. And the next few months, we'll see a large increase in construction activity at MBC. We also renegotiated our power contract with our current provider, and starting in 2018, our power cost will be about 15% lower. And this will certainly help MBC in maintaining the drive for lower cash costs. We've had a solid second quarter, and I believe we are well on the way of achieving our objectives for 2017. We've made a substantial investment into MBC, and we are now very well positioned to take advantage of future increases in copper price. I now hand you over to Aurora to discuss the financials.
Thank you, Rob. Quarter two of 2017 was another very good quarter for the company. Through a combination of record production, ongoing cost controls, and decent copper prices, the company's realized copper price in Q2 was $2.59 per pound. Under these variables, MVC generated cash from operations of $4.5 million. In the 6 months ended June 30th, 2017, cash generated from operations was $8.7 million. Including changes in working capital, cash from operations was $6.4 million in the second quarter and $13.9 million in the first half of the year. With the stronger copper prices we have seen in the third quarter so far, the second half of the year could potentially produce even more robust results. The good results from the second quarter enabled the company to start repaying its $17 million debt with Codelco El Teniente, which was provided in 2015 and 2016 as a copper price support loan. Repayments commenced in May at a rate of $1 million a month, and therefore $2 million were paid in the second quarter. We also started repaying the $5.4 million in royalties to El Teniente that were deferred in 2016. Payments on this deferral should be completed in the third quarter. On June 30th, the third of 12 installments on the $64.4 million loan that was provided for the first phase of the expansion of Cauquenes was made for a total of $5.4 million. Reducing the balance outstanding on this loan to $48.3 million. The loan's term is to December 31, 2021, and the repayment schedule may be shortened without penalty under the provisions of our finance agreement. After the debt repayments described above, the company had a cash position of $20 million, split between $14 million in operating accounts and $7 million in a debt service reserve account required under the terms of our bank agreement. During the second quarter, we continued negotiations to finance the second phase of Cauquenes. This was approved at the end of July and closed early in August. To date, $4 million have been disbursed to cover the phase two project capex for the month of August. The phase two financing was structured as a new tranche of MVC's existing debt agreement, under which the first phase was financed. The facility will be for up to $35.3 million, which is the project capex with conservative contingencies provided by the lender's independent engineer. The repayment schedule of a new loan consists of six equal semi-annual installments running from June 30, 2019 to December 31, 2021. The interest terms are comprised of a portion fixed through a swap for 75% of a facility at a rate of 6.02 per annum, and 25% are variable based on the U.S. LIBOR 6-month rate, which is currently 4.82% per annum. During the following quarters, we will continue to closely monitor the construction costs of the Phase 2 project to ensure it can be completed at or below budget. We will also be vigilant of the various components of working capital to identify those conditions under which debt repayments could potentially be accelerated to reduce the company's debt load as efficiently as possible. We look forward to a very good second half of the year and to meeting again in 3 months to discuss our third quarter performance. Operator, those are the comments we have, and we are now open to questions.
Thank you. We'll now take questions from the telephone lines. If you do have a question, please lift your handset before making a selection. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to cancel said question, you may press the pound sign. Once again, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A brief pause will be held to allow participants to register. Thank you for your patience. The first question is from Joseph Rager of Newport Beach, California. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys, and thanks for taking the question. Two things. I guess first, Rob, on the energy cost potential reduction in 2018, can you remind us what percentage of your costs are energy? And then is that already factored into the guidance for the Phase 2 expansion cash costs, or is this in addition to those reductions?
Hi, Joe. Thanks for the question. We just very recently renegotiated the power contract, so it is not baked into any of our existing guidance. So the rate reductions will take place next year, and it's the benefits we expect are in the order of about $6 million a year, or you know, in the order of about 7 cents a pound. So they will, you know, if all goes well, I think we will be issuing, you know, new guidance towards the end of the year once we have our budgets finalized. And certainly the pressure is to keep cash costs going down, and the electricity contract will certainly help in doing that.
Okay. And then one additional question for Aurora on the debt financing. Just one point of clarity. Are you guys going to draw down the full $35 million, or is it going to be more like a line of credit available as you need it?
No, our intention is to use the financing to cover all of the costs of the project and not to apply working capital from MVC into the project. So we will draw that. We hope it's not going to be for the full 35.3. That contingency is conservative, but we will be using that facility to fund the Phase 2 without using our operating cash.
Okay, but would you then apply your operating cash flow back to existing debt?
That is the way we're seeing it work out.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Terry Fisher from Toronto, Ontario. Please go ahead.
Yes, it's CIBC with Gundy in Toronto. Thank you. Three questions, actually. First one is on the power contract. What's the term? How long are those costs locked in for? And related to that is where do your own generators play into this in terms of selling power onto the grid or using them instead of taking power off the grid? What's the status of your own generators?
Hi, Terry. So the term of the new contract, the previous term was for 10 years, so from 2018, extended 10 years. Beyond that, we've added 5 additional years to that, so now we have a 15-year term starting in 2018.
Great.
That's with our existing power supply contractor. So we've locked in for a longer period of time, and they've dropped the price in order to do that. The generators continue to run when the grid price is sufficiently high enough to pay for, you know, the operating costs. So we did in fact run them in this last quarter, and we've subcontracted out the work to do that to an independent party. So the generators still run and do provide us a little bit of revenue when grid prices are high.
Okay, two other quick ones. First, under what conditions, if at all, would you ever consider hedging any of the copper price forward? And secondly, unrelated question, but I'm just going to table it now. It seems to me that the key to overall production is the mix between fresh tailings processed and historic tailings, and that seems to jump around a bit. And again, I know it's going to change when phase two comes on, but I'm talking about up until phase two coming on, what's the driver between fresh tailings and the historic tailings being processed?
With respect to your first comment on hedging, we do discuss hedging, and we've decided not to hedge. We perceive that our investors want to maintain upside to the copper price. We believe we have sufficient downside protection to cover us when copper prices do go low, and we saw that bear fruit last year when the copper prices were $2, $2.10, and we kept going. So there's no strong desire to hedge right now. On the production mix, we process basically everything we get. So all the fresh tailings from El Teniente go through the mill, and we extract from Carquenas at a rate of 60,000 ton a day. So the mix is pretty much fixed. It's not something that we manipulate much. We basically produce what we get. And so as the second phase gets built out, we're going to recover a bit more material from Carquenas that we're not recovering from the material right now, because our plant is not capable of recovering all the copper from the fine material in Carquenas. So the mix, as phase two gets built out, will be shifted towards Carquenas producing, in the order of 3/4 of our copper, and fresh down to 1/4. So fresh is going to stay at a rate pretty much it is today, but Carquenas is going to get significantly more because the recovery rate is going to improve.
Okay, that's great. Thanks very much. But can I table one more? And I wasn't going to bring this up, but it concerns me in the sense that you're on the verge of, I think, significant increase in the valuation of the business. And I've had this happen to me in the past with clients' accounts where we've owned things like oil-producing companies, junior ones in Canada, and just, they get beaten down because of the commodity price, and just when things are recovering, the Chinese or somebody comes in and takes them over at a 20% premium, but it's still below what we originally paid for the stock. Sure. So I'm just wondering what protections there are besides the fact that this is such a unique business and you're not actually mining, you're running centrifuges and so on. Not everybody's going to want to get into that, but is there any other protection in terms of event language with your contract with Codelco that would keep any potential acquirer from coming in here and scooping this before we all see the eventual rewards from what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair question, and it's a hard one to answer. our contract with Codelco is a complicated one. It's built on 25 years of partnership with them, so it's for new guys to come in to redevelop that relationship would not be easy. What we're doing down there is, as you mentioned, is not normal mining. It's highly proprietary techniques we're using, so it's not run of the mill processing. So yes, we produce copper, but we do it in a pretty unique situation. Could there be other companies interested in our cash flow stream coming forward? Yes, for sure. I would think anyone would be interested in that. So I think we just have to negotiate those waters as and when they, you know, arrive coming forward. And, you know, obviously a 20% premium would not be very, very interesting to us at all.
Well, thank you. I'm a long-time investor, and so are some of my clients, and I think you guys are doing really a terrific job, and, you know, hopefully the commodity price stays with us. If it does, I think there's great days ahead of us.
Thanks, Terry.
Thank you. Once again, please press star one if you have a question. The next question is from Stephen Utridge of Vancouver, British Columbia. Please go ahead.
Good one. Let me echo the last person on the line. I'm a retired investment advisor, so hopefully my ex-clients are still in the stock, are still are there for the future, and if any takeover offer is made, it would have to be considerably higher than current prices in my mind. Anyway, questions. When do you expect to see an increase in production from this expansion of Calcanis? Is it all going to come in Q3 2018?
Yeah. Hi, Stephen. Yeah, that's a good question. We expect to finish construction in Q3 next year. And after that, you know, it is a flotation circuit. They take a while to settle down. And as we saw in phase one, the ramp up, you know, lasted 3 months for phase one. So I'm hoping we can get a ramp up quicker than that. But I would certainly say it by, you know, the end of 2018, we'll be at our target tonnage rate.
Okay. The other thought I had is the chute taking the tailings away from you down further down the mountain. How, with the expansion, how full is that going to be?
With the expansion, the tons and the grade remain unchanged. So we're still processing the same volume at the same grade. The recovery is going to be vastly improved because we're putting more residence time into the plant. So the only thing really changing is the recovery rate of the copper. So the volume of the tailings stays the same, the grade stays the same. So there'll be no change in the tailings channel going down the mountain.
Okay.
It'll just have less copper in it.
Okay, I had another question. Who are the people providing the standby line of credit?
We have three Amerigo shareholders providing that standby line of credit. It has been, the original agreement was filed on SEDAR, so it's public information. We have the group of Ross Beatty, Geologic Resource, and Sizer Holdings.
Okay. And the other thing I noted was the Q4 16, you had a profit. And of course, Q2 17, you reported a small loss. So, what was the difference?
There is a very simple explanation from that, and that was an increase in copper price in Q4 of 2016, provided us with substantial settlement adjustments. You may recall that we are selling a copper on an M+3 basis, so we basically had 3 months of copper that was paid at higher prices, or Q3 production was paid at higher prices in Q4, and we also sold the Q4 production at the higher provisional prices than available.
Okay. All right. That's all for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you. That concludes the participants who have registered. I'd like to turn the meeting back over to Ms. Davidson.
Thank you, operator, and thank you for all participants to the call. We are looking forward to reporting our third quarter results approximately 3 months from now. We can now terminate the call.
Thank you. This concludes the meeting for today. Please disconnect your line at this time, and we thank you for your participation.